This is Bhajan Rahasyam, class number 8. At this juncture in the discussion of this Vipralamba Bhajan at the level of Prema, and the Shikshastikam verse is called Satamayam Sarana, which at this level of Bhajan Rahasyam, this particular aspect, the last few verses of Bhajan Rahasyam, are especially directed towards the devotees at the level of bhava, jatarati. They have a rati or attachment and bhava. And they are feeling at this stage of the progress in devotion, they are feeling intense pain and separation from their object of attachment. Asakti, Krishna asakti, means we're genuinely attached to Krishna to such an extent that we really miss him. And the level of anartanivrti or nishtha or ruchi, it's like, okay, Krishna's nice, but if I don't see him, it's okay also. And we're not really attached. When we're attached to Krishna, then we feel separation. It actually arises in the heart. If we're not chanting and not seeing him and not remembering him somehow or other, of course, it's practically, we're not like that at that stage. But then we feel the pain of his separation. Because when one is at the level of asakti, and especially bhav, then he starts to experience Krishna within his mind in a very profound way called spurti, or vision seeming like reality but not reality. A spurti, or an experience, or a vision, or a mental presence of the Lord, is so deep and so real that you feel that, or the devotee feels that he can reach out and touch the Lord, or embrace the Lord, and he feels that he's actually hearing the Lord's voice, although it's only within the recesses of his mind and his spurti. It's very, very real. He feels that way. And then at those moments, in those hours or those minutes when he's moving in the spurti and moving in the lila, serving the Lord in his internal meditation, he feels, I'm there. I'm in the spiritual world. I'm in my siddhadeya. I'm directly with the Lord. It's not imagination. It's not kalpana. This phenomenon will arise at the level of bhava. And then the Lord will withdraw that spurti because he's not actually having sakshan darshan. He's not actually in Bhoma Vrindavan or in Prakat Lila. It's spurti. There is a difference. So then he comes to Bhaya Dasha, external consciousness, and he thinks, oh, like, where was I? And we go into, of course, it's been a long time, but for example, you go in a movie, it's all dark, and then you completely immerse yourself in the screen. It's a time period movie from 1890s. And then you come outside and it's all dark. And a few hours and you come outside, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun is shining brightly. And where am I? It's 2010 or 9 or whatever it is. And where I went there and now I'm here. It's a totally shift. Different time period and lighting and no more movies and actors and this and that. It's something. Like the experience of being in antar, and then this antar, what do you call it? This internal ardhachitta or antachitta, being in internal consciousness in a spurti, and then coming to external consciousness. You see, and a vivid example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was what we're talking about, Anjal Kali Lila or dreaming, he's having his spurtis, and he comes out and he says, look, see Surabdhamana Rai Ramananda. What are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? Because he's floating in the ocean, completely unconscious, absorbed in Yamuna Leela. And then he came to external consciousness. And he was, so was I saying something funny? What was I saying? Oh no, everything's okay. So Lord Chaitanya is showing this exalted state. So this verse, Yugayitam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravishayitam. This is this intense mood at the level of prema. There's union and separation. This separation is being described here in this verse itself, and in the supporting verses of this chapter on bhajan, they will sprinkle the heart of the sadhaka who is not on the level of bhava. They will sprinkle his heart with drops of separation, with drops of hankering, utkantita, with drops of eagerness to become so attached to the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he describes, of course, this whole chapter is about separation. Yogayitam, this verse is about separation. This is the chapter on separation. Praying bhajan and separation. The devotees at the level of bhava, they will relish deeply these verses that he cites. Those devotees like ourselves that are aspiring for bhava, they will be encouraged and they will get some drops of separation come in their hearts. And he has a discussion here where he describes the four different types of separation. And he has different verses in this chapter, Satamiyam Sarana, where he describes these separations. So I wanted to read a summary of that in the notes. Then we'll read his verses, which he says that these verses will help us in our bhajan, our separation. It's called Vipralamba Bhajan. They will help us develop our feelings for Krishna and the mood of separation. Because you can't really meet someone you never heard about, and you can't have intense appreciation for something unless you've heard about it, and then you feel attraction for it. So separation creates a lot of attraction, hearing about Krishna and how the devotees love him so much, and how in his separation they feel so much pain. And we can think, oh, Krishna's like this, and he has such attractive qualities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is presenting this. There's four kinds of this. It's called Vipralamba Bhav. A lot of this is familiar, but we can repeat it. First is Purva, Purva Rag. Sometimes we hear the term Purva Karma. Must have heard that, Purva Karma. Oh, this is my Purva Karmas. This means my prior activities. Someone says, oh, you're very fortunate. You're living in India, like many of you here, sitting here, living in India. You're living in Radhakund, you're very fortunate. It must be your Purva Samskaras. They'll say your Purva Samskaras. The previous life's activities that you did, the piety and punya, you're rewarded in this life by being able to live in Krishna's holy land or whatever. Being born in a wealthy family and Janmaishvarya Shuddha Shivir. All these are good deeds, purva, some prior activities, prior sanskaras. So there's something called prior love. Love before meeting. Purva rag, the attachment to love that arises in Radha and Krishna before they meet. And this is not only in Bhoma Vrindavan, where they appear and they actually grow up, this Purva Rag. But Purva Rag is an eternal aspect of love and separation, which is going on even in the spiritual world, where Radha and Krishna are eternally teenagers. Krishna is eternally existing in Goloka Vrindavan at the age of 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. One scripture says like that. And Radharani is permanently existing in Goloka Vrindavan in 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. I say that much, exactly. And they're always there, and they're always having their activities. But even in the context of their meeting, and their cow herding, and rasa dancing, and Radhakund pastimes, these four types of separation are moving in and out of their pastimes. Purva Rag, then Prem Vaichitya, then Pravasa Rag, and then this Sudhura Pravas, or we can say Man. Man is also there. Manini Radha, Mangar and Varsana. So it's not that, because Purva Rag means prior love. And what happens is that Radha and Krishna, although they're meeting every day, sometimes they feel like they never met before. And it's like we say in English, puppy love, or puppy love means the budding of love. A man sees young boy's in school and he sees some girl and he's growing up and he's, oh, she looks nice, and he's somewhat attracted to her, and then he hears about her and then this and that, and gradually develops some attraction or attachment by associating, by hearing. So this is called Purva Rag. They haven't actually met, they haven't enjoyed intimately, they haven't done anything together, they're just hearing about each other, seeing each other. So Radha and Krishna, they do this in Bhoma Vrindavan, where they actually appear, they take birth, and they grow up. And then they and Radharani says, oh, I think I'm falling in love. It's like called falling in love. And then the gopis say, oh, it's who? Oh, that dark boy. Oh, really? Oh, that's not good, you know. This and that. And they have their discussions. So this is Purvarag. But even afterwards, in the spiritual world, where they're eternally in this Kishore Roop, Yuga Kishore, they have the same experience. Oh, I think I'm falling in love with Krishna. So it's something to keep in mind. It's described as the separation that lovers feel before they actually meet formally and acknowledge their love for one another. This is the fascination and enchantment that arises when the hero and the heroine, Nayak or Nayaka, see each other or hear about each other before they actually meet. This is Purvarag, and he will give some verses to describe that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then there's Man, which we hear a lot about, Man Bhanga, Radharani's in Man, and Krishna tries to break. Man means contrary feeling, angry mood, sulking, pouting. This is a separation, it's a Vipralamba, that occurs when lovers quarrel with one another. This is the bhava, the feeling of love, that occurs. This is the bhava that prevents the hero and the heroine, Nayak and Nayaka, from associating intimately and enjoying their cherished activities of embracing, kissing, and looking at each other. Sweet talks, even though they're in the same place. In Purvarag, they actually haven't met. Krishna's in Nandagram, Radharani's in Barsana, and there's no rasa dance, and there's no, we can say, Jalkeli or Julan festival. There's nothing. They haven't done anything together yet. And Man, and the separation of Man, they are together. They're directly associating. Even physically, they're right there. But then Radharani develops a mood, a mentality. Oh, I don't sit, don't look at me. Don't touch me. So this is Man. It's a contrary mood. So separation, even though you're with a lover, you're just playing hard to get or standoff nature like this, contrary, sulking. Then Krishna, he tries to humor Radharani, make a joke, or hold her knee, and then she throws his hand, get your hand off her, you know. And he puts his hand gently on his shoulder. It's okay, I didn't mean anything. Throws his hand off. So this is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Man, of course, it's all transcendental and way beyond our perception, but we can have some faint idea of what it is. Prem Vaichitya is the third type of love and separation, Vipralamba Bhav. Prem Vaichitya. This is a feeling of separation that occurs again when lovers are together, yet they fear impending separation. These are heartfelt pangs of separation, even though Radharani is so very close to Krishna, even she may be sitting on his lap. But by chance, if Radharani sees her own reflection, she sees her own reflection in Krishna's shiny or glossy chest, and due to this illusion, an illusion arises, and she thinks, oh, who is that Sakhi? There's some other Sakhi Krishna's embracing to his chest. Look, I see that Sakhi. It's like looking in a mirror, and then in that mirror, you see, you know, you say you're Radharani, you see yourself, and in that mirror you also see Krishna standing behind you, because when you look in a mirror, you can see your face, and you can see if someone's standing behind you, right? So Radharani looks in the mirror, she says, "Oh, there's Krishna. Oh, who is that Sakhi there? Who is that Sakhi standing with Krishna? Oh, I'm becoming jealous." Why is he? He's enjoying right in front of me with that Sakhi. But she's only looking at her own face. You see the analogy. A very strange phenomenon. This is called Prem Vaichitya, that their love is so intense that Radharani, she mistakes that, oh, I was with Krishna, now some other gopi came in between us. Radharani gets agitated when she sees this, and she thinks that another gopi is embracing Krishna. At that moment, a feeling sweeps over her mind, or you can say like a breaking wave, breaks over her mind, and she just feels that separation from Krishna. I'm not here, and he's left me, he's with some other Sakhi, and where's he gone? course, this is all on the level of Mahabhava and this kind of separation. Feeling intense grief due to the internal conception of separation. Externally, she's sitting on Krishna's lap. She has her arm around him. So we would say, how is it possible to feel separation? But in the mind, she's somewhere else. Due to the play of prema, this is the dance of prema that creates this particular phenomenon or this experience. Because Krishna gets great thrill and joy seeing Radharani's face. And oh, where's he gone? And Krishna's thinking, well, this is the most amazing display of love. So love moves in different ways. And they say that the prema of Radha and Krishna, it's moving like a snake. It's not in a straight line. It's unpredictable. When someone's walking in a straight line, he says, oh, he's walking like this. It means he's going from here, he'll go to there. But like if you've ever been in the presence of a snake, you get very nervous. Because you don't know which way they're going. They're going like this and like that. So he's going over there. Now he's coming over here. That's not good. Better he goes over there. I'm over here. But now he's going there and then there and there and back and forth. So this is the way the love moves in Vrindavan. It moves like a snake. In a very crooked and unpredictable and suspenseful way. And that's exactly how Krishna likes it. He himself is very crooked. So he likes all crooked things. That doesn't mean we should be crooked. We shouldn't lie and steal and all these crooked activities and say, well, you know, Krishna's crooked. He stands in a crooked way. The acharyas, they say, the only thing straight about Krishna is his flute. But even that has dosh. Dosh means somebody says, oh, you have so many faults. So that's not a good thing to have faults. Dosh means faults. Oh, you have many faults, you're not well behaved, and whatever, people may list them all. So they say, yes, Krishna, the only thing straight about you is your flute. But even your flute is full of dosh, because it's full of holes. So okay, it's straight, but it's full of holes also. So it's not even very good, because only it's straight, but then it's also dosh. This is some humor that the gopis express in their and they're joking with Krishna. And then the third type of Vipralamba Bhava, or love and separation, is the pravas. Vas means residence, like we say Brajvas. Vas means residence. This means that there's some obstruction or hindrance between a Nayak and Nayaka, or from their meeting each other. But they've been together, but now they're separated because they're living in different countries or different villages, or there may be a difference in mood or in different places. When Radharani is in Barsana, then Krishna goes to Govardhan with the cows. So he's residing temporarily in a different place. So it's called pravas rag or pravas. And that's a type of separation. He's not very far away, but he's some distance. And she can't see him in immediate presence. So that's separation. There's separation in emotions and mind, although you're sitting on Krishna's lap. And there's separation in time because you haven't met Krishna yet, Purvarag. Now this is, you met Krishna, you're enjoying with Krishna regularly, but now he's gone away to a distant country, it said. It's called Pravas. And then we'll just go through these, then we'll go back. There's different verses that describe these types of separation. This is separation that occurs when the lovers are separated by distance and time. Now that was the fourth one. There's Purvarag, Man, Prem by Chitya, and Pravas. So Pravas, living in a distant place, or Krishna and Radharani being separated by some space and time, there's two divisions. One is Krishna's nearby, he's in Braj Mandal somewhere. And the other one is he goes really far away. It's called Durvas or Sudur. Sometimes called Dur Pravas or Sudur. Sudur. Dur means difficult or far, distant. And Su means very. Very difficult, very far. He's living in a very far away place, like Dwarka. When Krishna lives far away from Braj in Kurukshetra, Mathura, Dwarka, at that time, this produces 10 types of different symptoms in Radharani. And these are mentioned. And then this is what happened in Brahma Gita, in chapter 47 of the 10th canto, when Uddhav came with a message or letter from Krishna to comfort and soothe the Brajagopis in their anguish of separation from Krishna. He had been living in Mathura, which although it was 8 kilometers, was like 8,000 yojans. Because of the type of environment there, it's Aishwarya Vibhuti environment, very wealthy, very opulent, gold everywhere, big palaces, no gunjamala, no peacocks, no parrots, no govardhan, no minerals, and no wild forest fruits, and all these things that typified Vrindavan. It's a city. It's Madhupuri. It's called Madhupuri, Mathura. And this is a van, Vrindavan. Vrindavan. It's a van. It's a forest. And it's a puri. There's a big difference between puri and van. Of course, now we look around, we say, where's the van? There's one tree. Oh, wow, that's good. And then 2 miles away, there's another tree. That is not a van. Vrindavan is invisible now, unfortunately, for the most part. But when Krishna was living here, when he left this place, he left a very deep and dark, dense forest. In our own Janam countries, most of you all know about virgin forests and national parks and all these type of things were in Germany and probably Russia and other places, and Black Forest and all these places. Dense, dense forest where the sunlight doesn't even come inside. And you go inside at 12 noon, you can't even see anything, hardly. And it's very cool and very dense. Vrindavan was like that. And every once in a while, there's forest. And some places there was what they call tila. Dhruva tila, Ambarish tila, Varsana tila, Nandagan tila, Basanti tila, Aritagram tila. Everywhere in the midst of that forest, there were these small hills, hillocks. And even there was trees over there. But the people would come and they would make their settlement there on the top of a tila. But below, on the tila, of course, they would clear the trees. But below the tila, everywhere there are forests and a few valleys here and there. Because Nanda Maharaj and his clan, the Abhira, the Vaishyas called Abhira clan, they were not cultivators. They were simply taking care of cows. Their wealth was cows. They were not cultivating land. They were nomadic. The grass is green in Brihadvan and Mahavan, Gokul, they went there. Then the grass is green and grass is greener on the other side. They have a phrase like that. And it was true in their case. Then they went to Chatikar. The very nice grass there. No demons. That's the main thing. Get away from the demons. And they went to Chatikar for 3 years and ate up all the grass there. They had to move on. There's no more grass. So then they moved on to Kamvan, then Nandagaon, and they moved like this around the Mandal, Braj Mandal. They simply had their wagons, and then they would make some palace of Nandagram was Nanda Maharaj's great-grandfather, and grandfather's palace. But they would just wander. Therefore, they didn't have to clear all the land and grow chickpeas and wheat and all these things. They weren't doing that. They were simply producing ghee and butter, and they were trading. They were trading these things in Mathura. And Mathura was a port. It's a port, Yamuna port. It's a shipping port. People coming from the Yamuna way up north, Haryana, and northern UP and all these places. And up there, there wasn't so much van. It's still the grain. It's a grain-growing area. So all the wheat and all these things were being produced there, come to Mathura. They would go there and sell their yogurt and butter and whatnot. Actually, they wouldn't go there. They would sell to Asians here, and the Asians would take it there. Just like you see these guys with the motorcycles, and they have all these milk cans in the back. You must have seen. So the farms are all around the UP, and these guys collect the milk from all the farms and add a good dose of water, of course. And then they bring it to the sweet shops in Vrindavan or wherever. I mean, the milk in Vrindavan is coming from Kamai and all kinds of places like that. They go all the way to Vrindavan because there's no farms in Vrindavan. There's no goshalas in Vrindavan. It's a city. It's a small city. What to speak of Mathura. So this is how it was going. They didn't have tractors and or bullock carts, and they had bullock carts, but only for transport, just like the Rajasthani nomads. This is a little bit of cultural reference about Krishna. So he just wandered around, played his flute. Their wealth was their cows. They say cows and land and all that, but it wasn't New Vrindavan and Gita Nagari and big farms and all that. It wasn't like that, so we should understand. So Krishna, he was in the Puri, in Madhupuri, and the gopis were in the van, in a deep forest. And when he went there, even though it's 8 kilometers, it was 800 yojanas, because there's no comparison between a city and a country. What to speak of the bhavas there? It was all Aishwarya, Madhurya and Aishwarya mixed. And Braj is Madhurya Dham. Madhura. Everything is sweet and special about Vrindavan. And that speciality and that sweetness is not available in Mathura, because it's just not there. Krishna's there, but not the surrounding. So that became, in that situation, Radharani entered a very deep state of Mahabhav and this separation mood, and she exhibited these 10 symptoms which are described as part and parcel of Sudur Pravas. One is chinta, anxious. One becomes very anxious, disturbed, anxious consideration. The second one is jagaran. Like we see Ekadasi jagaran, sometimes devotees stay up, or Janmashtami, whatever, Nrisimha Chaturdasi, or Shivratri, whatever. Sleeplessness. In other words, when one is separated from his beloved or her beloved, and the beloved has gone to another country, which cannot be attained, which cannot be seen or attained, and practically speaking, the lover is untouchable and disappeared. Then all these 10 states overcome one. Symptoms in Radhika, Srimati Radhika. Udvega, agitation. Tanava, krishita. Tanu means the body. Krishita means become shrunken. We say emaciated. Like patla, skinny. like me. Come to her, weak. When it's not due to separation from Krishna, it's due to separation from digestion or some power of digestion, bad digestion. Then five is milan angata. Anga, as you know, means limbs. This is mal in Ayurveda. Mal means some dirt or ama. They say ama. Ama or mal, we say nirmal. Nirmal means no dirt or nirmalya. Nirmalya means pure. Pure stuff. Foodstuffs that are offered to the Lord are called nirmalya. So malin angata means discoloring of the bodily limbs. Another one is one looks dark or one looks dull. One can look dull or dark due to diet, due to disease, or due to emotions. We see that Prabhupada, when he went to America in the beginning of his preaching, he said, I met these hippies in the 1960s in New York, and they're all black-faced. They're all very dull. There's so much bong and marijuana, LSD, all these things. There was so much tamagun in them. So if you're filled with tamagun, what is the color of tamagun? Black. So you look dark, you look dull. So when you start imbibing or ingesting sattva, the sattva-gun is white. It is yellow. It is pure. So then one becomes, he develops tej, he develops effulgence, and a light. And light is not black. Light is white. Pure light is white. Or becomes yellow. So devotees became, in Prabhupada's words, bright-faced. Bright-faced, as Prabhupada would say. Or bright-faced. He said, see, I took blackies and made them brighties. Hippies and made them happies, right? It's a little variation. I took blackies and made them brighties. They're all black-faced and dull because of the tamasic thinking, tamasic habits, tamasic food, tamasic activities, disco, rock and roll, and drugs. Now, that's a material example. Of course, it doesn't quite go into transcendence or into the field of Prem Vichar or Prem Tattva, but it is a fact that in the elation of ecstasy, there is vaivarnya. Vaivarnya is one of the eight symptoms of astasattvic bhavas. Eight transformations appearing in the physical body due to the ingress or the appearance of bhava and bhakti ras. And one of them is vaivarnya, where his bodily color changes from golden to reddish gold or golden to white, or as we see in Life of Lord Chaitanya and other personalities. So in sadness there's discoloration of the body also. In joy, we know that if one is very, very happy and very, very excited, his heart beats faster. If you want an anatomical explanation or a physiological explanation, but the actual thing is the emotions increase. He becomes very emotional, very excited in the presence of the beloved. So the face flushes with red, or sometimes embarrassment. Oh, you're red with embarrassment. If you get embarrassed, your face gets very red, reddish. Even if you have brown skin, it becomes reddish-brown, like this. You're with embarrassment, or elation, or ecstasy. Radharani, this is this malim. Malin angata means that her limbs and the separation from Krishna, she felt so downcast and so unhappy and so sad and morose that she became somewhat dull. Tapta kanchana gaurangi. Generally, Radharani's effulgence, her complexion, is described by Lord Shiva as taditsivarna champaka pradipta gaura vigrahe. Pradipta, that her bodily complexion is like lightning. Tadit Suvarna Pradipta, extremely brilliant, like a combination of lightning and Suvarna Champak, like a golden lotus, a golden champak flower mixed with lightning and brilliant flaming ghee lamp. Very beautiful, molten gold. And now, in this Malin Angata, this symptom of Sudur Pravas, Radharani looks some dull. Her limbs become discolored. Her arms, her legs, her body, face. Because her heart, when your heart is shining in love, then your face shines in love. So Krishna is that Ujjvala Neelamani. Krishna is that Ujjvala Neelamani, that Prem Neelamani. That Neelamani means Krishna. He's that blue gem. Neela means blue, money means gem. And Ujjvala means extremely scintillating and brilliant and effulgent. When Radharani's with Krishna, she's wearing that jewel. She's enshrining that jewel of Krishna within her heart. So she's emanating a beautiful effulgence due to the presence of Ujjvala Neelamani within her heart. That shining effulgent blue gem known as Shamsundar, Ghanasham, Sri Krishna. Now that gem has been taken out of her heart. Akrura has taken that gem from Radharani's heart, that Ujjvala Neelamani, and taken him to Mathura. And now Radharani, it's like you have a ring, you have a golden ring, and in the middle of that ring, there's a blue sapphire, or a diamond. That's very brilliant, shining. It's self-effulgent. Diamonds give off their own light. If you take a diamond into a darkened room, it gives off light, because it's like Suryakanta money. There's light there. It emanates light. It's effulgent. You take away the diamond, then you go in a dark room and you have a gold ring, there's nothing happening. So Radharani's effulgence, her brilliance, was due to the presence, largely due to the presence of Krishna in Vrindavan. That same thing with Krishna. Krishna is that Ujjvala Neelamani in the presence of Radharani. When they get together, when Radha and Krishna are together, they create the emerald effulgence. As you know, if you know the basics of art, when you combine blue with yellow, you get green. And emerald is green. So their combined auras, their prema jyoti, the prema jyoti of Radha and Krishna, when they combine together in sambhog or in union, it fills the entire kunja or forest of Radhakund or Lalita Nandana kunj, or these forests of Radhakund. It fills the entire forest with this beautiful, soothing emerald effulgence, which is a combined complexion and effulgence of Radharani and Krishna. Ujjvala Neelamani Sri Krishna and Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha. But now, Krishna's in Mathura, Sudur Pravas, and she's feeling too much suffering. That's the fifth symptom. The sixth symptom of this Sudra-Pravas Rag separation is Pralap. This is incoherent speech. So this was seen when Uddhava Mahashaya came to Vrindavan, as I mentioned, with Krishna's message in Brahma Gita, chapter 47, the 10th canto. Then Radharani, she spoke in 10 different types of, it's called Chitra Japa, mad talks to the bumblebee. She was speaking sometimes enviously, sometimes proudly, sometimes submissively, sometimes like a friend to a bumblebee. You unreliable servant of an unreliable master, you're proposing to carry me to Mathura? Do you think it's possible? And why would I want to go anyway? He left those that really love him. That shows his infidelity. Why would he want to spend any more time with him? And then back and forth. And then the bumblebee flies away. Oh, you've come back. And he flies back. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Actually, so all these very mad talks in Brahma Gita. So this is one, this is due, this manifestation of Pralap, which is incoherent, or we can say crazy talks, incoherent speech, it's called Pralap. And there's Chitra Japa, there's Anujapa, Chitra Japa, Vijapa, there's many different types that are described there. This is the manifestation of this rag, this vipralamba bhav, intense love and separation. The seventh symptom Radharani displays is called vyadi. Janna mrityu jaya vyadi means disease. But this means stricken with a tormenting disease. It's not that Radharani gets cancer or something, or gets diabetes or heart disease, but it's a disease of torment. Tormenting disease means a disease of anguish, the disease of ever really loved and been separated from their beloved can understand what that means, vyadi. So most of us have never loved anyone, really, and we've never been separated from them, but somehow this is the description that it's given in Ujjvala Nilamani of these and other scriptures, stricken with tormenting disease. In other words, as we know, because we can only have a frame of reference according to our own experience and education and perception and purity of consciousness to understand these things, these concepts or ideas, we understand something about disease and what that entails, and how that, when we're under the throes of a disease or the control of a disease, how it affects our mobility, our physical mobility, how it affects our ability to think and feel and interact and see the world and adjust with others and be with others. In a similar way, when Radharani is experiencing this symptom of vyadi, sudra-pravas, she is also affected emotionally, physically, psychologically, in the absence of Krishna. It's very debilitating, but it's not that her kidneys aren't working or her heart's not working, because her body is totally transcendental. Radharani's body is made of Mahabhav. Inside and there's no inside and outside. As such, in the Rupam, it's Krishna's own expanded form, and of his Ladini Shakti, personified as Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. Swarup, her very form, her toenails are made of Mahabhav. Her heart is made of Mahabhav. Her lungs, or whatever you want to say. Her whole body is Mahabhav. But yet, this term is used, stricken with tormenting disease. So she's tormented. She can't eat, she doesn't want to dress, she doesn't want to speak, she doesn't want to see anyone. All the similar things that happen when one is afflicted with a material disease. He can't eat, or maybe only drink water in some cases. And he doesn't change his clothes, he just sleeps, he has some pajamas on all the time or whatever, gumsha. And when you're sick, do you get up every day and dress in fresh clothes and put on a tie and shirt? No way. You just lie around in bed, isn't it? At best, you change your gumshoe or something. You're sick. So she wasn't changing her clothes. And why? Why didn't she change her clothes? From the day that Krishna left on the chariot with Akrura, that fateful day in Falgun Dwadasi, I believe it was, or Chaturdasi, in Falgun Maina, Radharani never changed her clothes until she went to Kurukshetra. Now it's, of course, Vyogini Radha, or excuse me, Samyogini Radha, an expanded form of Radharani. Then she changed her clothes. Why did she change her clothes? Because she was going to meet Krishna during the solar eclipse. Krishna was about 50 and Radharani's 49 or whatever. About 50 years later, at that time, the brief meeting in Kurukshetra. But she didn't change her clothes when Krishna went to Mathura. Why? Because when Krishna got on the chariot, Akura's chariot, and Radharani was there, all the gopis, and they're crying, and they're all holding hands together, and holding hands together and holding each other by the shoulders, because united we stand, divided we fall. If one man is standing, when you cross a raging river by yourself, it's easy to lose your balance and fall in the river. But if you're holding on three or four people together, then there's many legs. Your two legs, another, you become like a spider. So then one person starts to slip, but the other person supports him. So the gopis are holding each other up, because they were slipping and sliding. They're losing their very ground. The ground under their feet is Krishna's love. The solid terra firma of their reality is Krishna's presence. And that was being taken away from them. So then there's no... It's like an earthquake. You're walking on the ground, seems very solid, and you're sure, I'm on the ground. I have my track shoes. I'm right here. And all of a sudden there's a tremor. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Mother Earth, where are you going? What's going on here? You're about to split open. So it was when Krishna was put on the chariot by Akrura, it was like an earthquake. Everything just came, like we have this phrase in America, you know, that you pull the rug from underneath, what's it called? Pull the carpet from underneath somebody's feet. They're standing there on a little rug, and you pull it, and they go, whoop! And someone's standing on a floor rug, and you pull it, then they can lose and go up upside down. So that's what happened to the gopis. So they were holding on, they had each other, had their arms around each other's shoulders, and they were supporting each other and sobbing and crying and trying to contain their intense love and attachment to Krishna, because their mother-in-laws were standing right next to them. Their husbands were standing nearby. Nandamarj was there, Yashoda was there, and they were, because they were tottering under the heavy weight of the impending separation from Krishna. They were shaking like an earthquake, and there was nothing solid. The solid ground underneath their feet, their support of their hearts and the support of their existence is on the chariot about to run off to Mathura. So there was nothing solid left in their lives anymore, nothing solid to hold on to or to support themselves. So they were supporting themselves only by the strength of each other's shoulders. And they're all like this. And they're containing and compressing their hearts, and rather repressing their hearts, because they're in the presence of all their suspicious seniors. But at a certain point it became too intense that Krishna was going to leave. So then, due to that, the force of that disease, they all together, they bellowed out, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. That shloka is there, that line of the shloka is there in the chapter 39 of the 10th canto, it's called Viraha Gita. And from this shloka, Bilva Mangala Thakur, he wrote an entire stotram called Govinda Damodar Stotram. Maybe you've seen in English, it's there also. Many, many shlokas about gopis and Draupadi and Kunti, and everyone's saying, finally, Govinda Damodar. So they, and everybody look, hey, wait a minute. You're calling out Govinda Damodar? That's the person on the chariot next to Balaram. That's not the name of your husband. That's not the name of your father-in-law. That's not the name of your father. That's the name of Nanda Nanda. That's the name of Krishna. This is very interesting. So then their love, they let the cat out of the bag, as they say. They let their love fly out of their hearts, they revealed at that moment. Because it says that we never, if you express your love, then you put the light of love goes out. This is his book called Prem Samput. There's a book by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur called Prem Samput, the treasure love box or the treasure box of love, prema. So there it says, if two people are so much in love and you say I love you, then when people are really in love, they're expressing their love to one another by their actions, by their looks, by their glances, by their feelings, by their general being, and how they're existing for the happiness and pleasure of their beloved. And there's no need at all to say, I love you. So he says that these words come out of someone's mouth, and that actually puts the light, that wind, that air that one uses to say, you know, aha, I love you. That force of air, that is the wind which blows out the light of prema. A candlelight. You have a candlelight, whoosh, whoosh, you blow it out, and it ceases to light anymore. So in genuine love, there's no need to say, oh, I love you. So the gopis were containing everything, but now they couldn't contain the Govinda Damodar. Radharani didn't change her dress because the dress she was wearing when Krishna left on the chariot, this is a little extended answer about what I was saying. Because the question on the floor is why she didn't change her dress. Because on that fateful day when Krishna took Akura to Krishna out of Vrindavan, the dress that Radharani was wearing when Krishna left on the chariot and the breeze was blowing from Mathura towards Nandagram and where they were, and it blew the beautiful fragrance of Krishna's body. Wind went past Krishna's body, picked up the fragrance of musk and aguru and camphor and sandalwood from Krishna's body, and then filled all the clothing of Radharani and other gopis. So they became super saturated solution. They became saturated with this beautiful fragrance of Krishna's transcendental form. And there was no way and nobody in the world could convince Radharani to change those clothes, because then she would lose that association with Krishna's transcendental fragrance, which is non-different from Krishna, which is what we were saying in Nectar of Devotion. So that's the answer to why. So after that, she was not changing her clothes, she was not speaking, she was exhibiting all the symptoms of the Sudur Pravas, symptoms of Vyadi, stricken with tormenting disease. Number 8, Hare Krishna. It's called Unmad, Uttamada. Mada means intoxicated. It means madness, because they go side by side. Generally, if you drink a bottle of Diplomat or Johnny Walker, 1 liter, you will become intoxicated, drunk, inebriated. And then in that inebriated state or intoxicated state, you may do a lot of crazy things. Throw your brother off the building or crash your car. Do crazy things. Smash a window. Take a lamp and throw it across the room. All kinds of violent, crazy things people do. Madness. Do some activity of madness. So this is mada. Mada means intoxication, drunkenness, and madness. And uttam mada means the topmost presentation or expression of it. Uttam. There's kanishta madhyam uttam. Uttama. So uttama becomes unmad. Unmad means that the topmost expression or display of madness, intoxication. But it's not material, not some psychopath or schizophrenic madman or manic depressive of this material world. We're talking about divya unmad. Divya means transcendental madness. And this is in Srimati Radharani, and this is one of the symptoms of her Mahabhav. So, and this happens when, especially in Sudur Pravas, when Krishna goes to a different place, Radharani becomes mad, Divyon Mad. And this was the primary mood of Radharani when she met Uddhava. And Krishna's Kaviraj says, the Lord Chaitanya's Bhav and state of consciousness and state of heart when he was living in Gambira, during his Gambira Leela in Jagannath Puri, the last 12 years of his life, especially in Gambira, he was in the same state of consciousness, this Radha Bhav, same state of Radha consciousness or Radha Bhav that Radharani was in when she met Uddhav and Uddhav Kyari during the Brahmar Gita episode. And this is Divyonmad Mahabhav. And that's how he was dancing in Ratha Yatra, and that's how he was experiencing all those Kurma Chaitanya ecstasies and so many extraordinary displays of intense love and separation from Krishna, Shamsundar Bhajandanandan. That's the eighth symptom. The ninth symptom is moha, bewilderment. And the tenth is murcha, fainting unconscious. So tomorrow we'll discuss different verses from Bhajan Rahasyam, which illustrate these types of Vipralamba Bhav, love and separation, these four types of separation.